The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, November the 18th, 2024. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
And let's see, Fred's off today, Fred Jackson.
Burning a PTO. We're in that time of year where if you got them, use them or lose them.
Burning a PTO. That sounds illegal. Honestly.
It's for medicinal purposes.
This has nothing to do with drugs or anything,
no,
right?
No, it does not. Time off as PTO.
Okay.
Or a burn ban.
Yeah.
He's using his, he's got some vacation time that needs to be used by the end of the year,
spent.
Right?
I spoke HR for a moment.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, you did. And HR is
human resources.
Human resources. Are you a resource, Ed? Are you a human?
I am.
You're a human resource.
I'm a resource. And, you know, spend me or lose me. I have no idea.
You know what?
I have no idea what that means.
Human resources, that's become sort of a thing the last 20 years, and that everybody pretty much knows what that means. You handle the internal business of your employees, right, at an organization. And it was funny because I tell people here, and, you know, we have 100 employees here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, or plus, 100 plus, I don't know. I don't like to think about it as somebody who has oversee the payroll.
That's a lot of folks who are dependent.
Yes, you go out
on the president.
You go out and see the cars in this parking lot. Yeah. You have a panic attack if you're. But anyway, so but human resource. I tell people, you know, my dad started this ministry, you know, by himself in our house.
Yeah,
in 1977. He was a one man band literally for a couple of years, and then a couple of other folks joined him.
And bumped it up to a two-man band, then a three-man.
Yeah, I think they had a three-man band there for about 3 years. Anyway, so as the ministry grew, Dad didn't know. He had no experience in human resources,
right,
as it's called today. So I said, you know, our HR department was my dad up until we had about 50 employees.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy, but people would go to my dad into his office to talk about things like insurance.
Right.
You know.
Wow. And, so he was doing that?
Well, not all together, but yeah. I mean, but a lot of it was just walk into Brother Don's office and talk about, I need to take off Friday. Well, okay. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm just
keeping
saying,
track of that.
It was kind of like funny how things grew, but Dad had to learn how to, you know, what do you say, delegate?
You don't think about those kind of things when you, there's probably a lot of people who think about American Family Association,
right,
American Family Radio, and they don't think that we have all those kinds of issues just like anybody else, just like any business or corporation.
Yeah, we don't walk around going, Brother Ed, what shalt thou do?
Yes. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. God will take care of it. Well, you know what?
No, it's not like a monastery here.
Yeah.
But we do try to handle things in a Christian fashion, no doubt about it.
And we have a great HR department. I mean,
absolutely.
Not only do they stay up on all this stuff, and folks, it can get very complicated in 2024, about to hit 2025 in terms of the rules and regulations about all these things, but our HR also helps keep the employees focus on health.
Yeah.
And they keep it light with, you know, every once
in
a while.
Does that work for you, the emphasis on health?
Is that a shot?
I'm just asking. I'm thinking about myself.
I have good
numbers.
When I go to the doctor, I have good numbers. My cholesterol is real low.
And I talked to RFK Jr. about your numbers.
Yes. Now,
and he has a drug for you.
Yeah, and I do drink Diet Coke. RFK might ban these.
He would go for that.
He might ban these.
All right, so a lot to talk about today. We hope everybody had a nice weekend. What's your first story, Chris?
Well, much of the news cycle is dominated by the various people that President-elect Donald Trump wants to run his various cabinet positions. But let's table that for a moment and talk about something that could lead to World War III, possibly.
World War III?
Yes.
Literally.
Not politically. You're talking about a serious.
A serious world war, yes. Because President Biden is the president of these United States of America until late January. And Biden has authorized Ukraine to use long-range U.S. weapons in Russia. Russia is not pleased with this. And there is a story today from CBS News, and this is the headline. Russian officials say Biden's decision to let Ukraine fire missiles deep into Russia could lead to world war. So here we go again.
Listen, Putin has said prior, months ago, he said if NATO weapons are used inside Russia, that would be an act of war.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the
act of international war, not just a war. Excuse me for interrupting you. There is already a war.
Oh, yes.
Ukraine
yes.
and Russia.
Well, it would be an act of war on the part of NATO or the United States. And now, I don't know whether that's bluster, but I would take this extremely seriously. I don't know why I personally don't know why the Biden administration would do this as Joe Biden leaves office. Some people are speculating that the only reason to do this after the November election, the November 5th election, would be to throw a wrench into the transition between the Biden administration and the Trump administration. I have no idea what's going on, but that's as good an explanation as any. This is a foolhardy decision on the part of whoever made this call in the Biden administration. I'm not even sure Joe Biden's making these kinds of calls. I don't think he's even in the White House this week. I think he's on the road somewhere.
He has been traveling, yes.
All right, so you're right. This is an extremely serious situation. The U.S. gives weaponry to Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
And as part of that arsenal, if you will, we have given them what's called long-range
missiles. They can fire from Ukraine missiles. Deep into Russia.
Okay, so and they're using them now?
Well, he's given them permission to do it. So it looks like they're pretty much going to use them.
And these would be weapons that would be used inside. These aren't weapons to protect Ukrainians inside Ukraine from Russian weapons. This is to give Ukraine long range missiles to attack Russia inside of Russia.
Yeah. So far, Ukraine's attacks beyond the immediate border region inside Russia have been limited to non-U.S. and much less potent weapons, such as explosive drones. Using these missiles would up their game a little bit.
Yeah, we better hope this doesn't happen.
Wars have started over much smaller things.
Because if you're Putin and Russia and you start, Moscow and other cities start being fired upon with missiles from Ukraine made in the USA on the side of them, Then you're right. Putin and the Russian people, I guess, will consider that an act of war by the United States because we sold the weapons to Ukraine.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say, so that people don't think I'm being an alarmist here, these would not be missiles that would be used against civilian targets like Moscow. These would be used against military targets, but they would be inside Russia. Putin has threatened to use tactical nuclear weapons if Russia is attacked, and if it's attacked by Ukraine using U.S. missiles, I don't want to see tactical nuclear weapons used inside Ukraine.
Yeah. Things could escalate
absolutely.
Out of control, quite yep. frankly. And that's interesting, though, to me, and I haven't thought this criticism out totally, but so Biden tells Ukraine you can use the long-range missiles we have sold you or given you, mm-hmm.
given you.
All the while telling Israel, you can't go into...
That's a good point.
You can't go into Syria, or you can't go into Lebanon across the border 4 or 5 miles or fire a weapon over there. Otherwise, we're opposed to it. So we want to give Ukraine, it sounds like to me, sort of free reign to do what they need to do, according to them. On the other hand, we want to tell Israel, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, right? That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's a really good point.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I make a really good points. I'm not going to be here long.
We are advocating for restraint on the part of Israel, and meanwhile with Ukraine. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. All right. So next story, Chris.
Well, one of the people that President-elect Donald Trump wants to run the Defense Department, and would theoretically be in charge of decisions involving places like Ukraine or Israel, is veteran-turned-Fox News personality Pete Hegseth. Now, the news that Trump wants him to run the Defense Department is not new. But what is new is the ongoing calls by people on the left that Hegseth is not fit for this position. One of the people that's been out there saying that he is not fit for the position of defense secretary is former NAACP Legal Defense Fund president Sherrilyn Ifill. And she was on MSNBC claiming Hegseth is, well, I'll just have her say it. Clip 3.
This is someone who, is known to be a white supremacist, known to be an extremist, whose platform, whose book is basically about his opposition to the advancement of black officers to the top brass. And the military is actually a very important area for black advancement.
So we've gone from Donald Trump is Hitler, in their words, and he's going to bring about all these terrible things. And now we're using the same terms on people Trump wants to put in office. In this case,
who is she talking about? She's
talking about Pete Hegseth claiming he is a white supremacist.
And that has to do with pictures of Pete Hegseth. And on his chest, he has a pretty large tattoo. And it's typically called the Jerusalem Cross. And it's the cross in the middle. And then in the gaps between the so-called arms of the cross are smaller crosses. So it's 5 crosses in total. And this lady, what's her name?
Sherrilyn Ifill.
Yeah, she's claiming that it's a ludicrous accusation. Is claiming that is a symbol of white supremacy. And I don't know what white supremacists use, but that's the Jerusalem cross. That's been around for 1,200 years, something crazy. I think Hegseth is Catholic.
Yes.
And it would be more common for someone who's Catholic probably to get that kind of a tattoo.
You don't have that?
I don't. I don't.
Prove it.
What kind of tattoo do you have?
I don't have any tattoos.
Okay.
As it was a condition of my employment.
No, yeah.
I have no idea. Let me also say the accusation that Pete Hegseth is against the advancement of black generals or black officers is also ludicrous, because what Hegseth has come out against is our advancement based on skin color only. Okay. He wants qualified personnel to be advanced, not DEI hires. This lady has turned that into an accusation that he's against black officers.
That's why it's...
Who was the lady? What's her name?
She is Sherrilyn Ifill, and she is the former NAACP Legal Defense Fund president.
And where was she appearing?
She was on MSNBC.
Really?
Which always finds something to dump on when it comes to a Trump person.
Surprising.
That is why... That's important, though, that you really pay attention to what people say and try to find the context of their speech, because, especially on MSNBC, they'll air the portion of the bite where they'll edit it, and they'll have something like, hypothetically, I don't think people of color should be generals, and that's all they air.
Whole Charlottesville accusation against Trump, where they said he claimed that there were good people on both sides talking.
He said there were good Nazis.
Yes, basically saying he was saying good Nazis, and that is not what he was saying.
No,
but that lie was repeated over and over.
Listen. part of this election, I think, was a response to the constant harping of the left that anybody who doesn't agree with them wholeheartedly is either a racist or a homophobe.
Right.
Or a transphobe.
Islamophobe.
You got phobes. We got phobes out the wazoo, you know, across America. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they're saying. And or if you're somebody who you're or the white nationalist, they say, you know, they're just all over the place.
All over. Yep.
Right. Now Nazis are running free because yes. Trump's, huh?
Yeah.
Trump's Hitler.
He's Hitler.
So Nazis are running wild all over America. I think a part of the election was, you know, people are sick of that. They're tired of it. That's not true. None of that's true. And so quit trying to tell me that it is. It's right. The little boy that cried wolf syndrome. And so this woman here on MSNBC, by the way, MSNBC is down under a million viewers on their evening. They're down to like 500, 400,000 people.
Yes.
Across America. National,
yeah,
that are tuning into them, so they don't have any reason to exist any longer, hardly, right. And their mission is pretty well dead.
Yeah, Fox has a headline 6 days ago: no Trump bump, MSNBC hemorrhaging viewers.
Yeah,
and New York Times say 4 days ago: viewers flee MSNBC and flock to Fox News in wake of election.
Yeah, all right. Let me ask you this here: we got three nominees that Trump has announced, which will be controversial, mm-hmm. and 50-50 whether they'll get through the Senate, I think is how would you look at it today, most people. You mentioned Pete Hegseth.
Correct.
Yes.
And I know people who know him personally and say he's a, you know, fine person, and he also is a expert in the area of the United States military. And if you've watched him on TV, he knows his stuff. Now, as far as his military experience, what was the highest rank he was in the army?
Captain.
In the army. So, that's not very high in terms of ranks in the army, right?
Right. Because, you know, the current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, was a 4-star general.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. There are examples you can think of that are people who are ran the Defense Department, which is a cabinet-level position. What's it called?
Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense, who were not military. At least they didn't rise in the ranks of the military to be a general, for example. Donald Rumsfeld, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He worked for, I think, Reagan and Bush, I think. So
I think that's right.
Caspar Weinberger.
Right.
These weren't generals, okay? So there is precedent. You don't have to be a general to be Secretary of Defense, for example. So, but Pete Hegseth will, you know, he'll be challenged. Certainly by the Democrats in the hearings. Were you going to say something?
Well, I'm just going back and looking at past. I'd have to click
Secretary
on
Secretary of Defenses.
Secretary of Defenses.
But they don't have generals' uniforms on when I'm looking at
no,
them here.
Now Lloyd Austin does not.
Well,
either.
That's true. In their
they
pictures.
Dress as civilians.
It's a civilian, like Ash Carter. I don't think now. Jim Mattis.
He was a general.
He was a general.
Marine general, I think. Ash Carter was not. Right.
He was a director of a department at Harvard University.
Hey, do you have what Pete Hegseth commented back to?
I do. I can't say everything.
That's the one I wanted.
Yeah.
So set this up for us.
Okay. So he was criticized and labeled a white supremacist by the lady we just heard, Sherrilyn Ifill, on MSNBC, and they have pointed to his tattoos, one of his tattoos, as being evidence of that. He responded in a post I just put on Facebook, "Anti-Christian bigotry in the media is on full display. They can target me, but this type of targeting of Christians, conservatives, patriots, and everyday Americans will stop on day one at DJT's DOD. DJT would be Donald John Trump.
In his Department of Defense. Mm-hmm.
There were some other things in there that I can't say on the show because I value my job.
All right, look, I hope he gets it. I hope he gets confirmed because I think that'll be good for the Defense Department. He is going to change, and I know there are probably thousands and thousands and thousands of the military who are excited about him as a possible Department of Defense because he's going to get rid of all the woke stuff,
yes.
all of it. He's going to get rid of it and revert. He said, I want to go back to like 1999 rules of engagement and the soldier manual, for lack of a better term. In other words, get rid of all the woke stuff. No more transgendered stuff. No, none of that. None of that stuff. He wants to get back to kind of a traditional military operations. So
I'm just looking up the Jerusalem cross. Its origin is in the 11th century. Okay. So this idea that it's a modern day
KKK sign.
Yes. Or that it was created, you know, in Nazi Germany.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. Yeah. That lady.
It's a smear. Like you said, that's been going on for the last 4 years, where if you disagree with woke ideology and DEI, you're a racist,
right,
and all these other folks.
People are tired of it.
They are tired of
it. Yeah. Go ahead. Next story.
Well, one of the other nominees.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about because I said there are three nominees.
You go ahead.
Well, he was Secretary. That's Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. I said three that I know of that may be hard to get through the Senate. Okay. The other one is Matt Gaetz.
Okay.
Matt Gaetz.
Attorney General.
For Attorney General. He's the representative from Florida. He resigned his position in the House. But some people think he's going to be hard to get 50 votes. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Ed?
Yes. And that primarily has to do with unproven allegations against Matt Gaetz going back to when he was a younger man. He is 42, I think. And so when he was in his 20s, the accusations of sexual misconduct and having relations with a minor have been investigated. The Justice Department looked into it and decided there was not enough evidence there to even go any further. Listen, if there was proof of those things, I would be opposed to Matt Gaetz being chosen as Attorney General. But these things have not been proven. And listen, I think if you're going to destroy someone's career, you'd better have proof that can be used to invalidate someone's nomination. And the fact is, I don't know if the right does this, but the left has been using these kinds of smears, and they, because the media repeats them,
right?
People think that these things are true.
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz was primarily responsible for seeing that, what was the fellow's name from the Speaker of the House?
Mike Johnson?
No, the guy before.
Oh, Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy. Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy can't stand each other.
Right.
And Matt Gaetz basically got enough votes to take out Kevin McCarthy. Wasn't he Speaker of the House, or was he like House?
No, he was Speaker of the House.
House Minority Leader. Okay, anyway, the point is that there's no love lost between Matt Gaetz and supporters of... help me out here,
Matt,
again.
What, Matt Gaetz you talking about?
Talking about the guy he took out.
Oh, Kevin McCarthy.
I'm writing that down right now so I don't forget it again. I can't believe I forgot it twice. And Kevin McCarthy. Okay, here's what I want to say. There's still some hard feelings in the House of Representatives among Republicans about Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy. A lot of them supported Kevin McCarthy. And they didn't like the way Matt Gaetz and a few others took him out of the speaker's chair. And that bad blood remains. Maybe not as intense as it was. Do y'all understand what I'm saying here?
I do.
So there are a lot of Republicans in the House who don't like Matt Gaetz because he took on Chairman Speaker McCarthy. I'm just saying that is a dynamic that exists that may cause Matt Gaetz some problems. I don't know. We'll be back momentarily.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, in case you missed it, the sporting event of the year, I use that in quotations, Mike Tyson. Yes, that Mike Tyson. Grandpa Mike.
Yeah.
He got beat by his grandson. No.
A man half his age.
Jake Paul, who is a professional boxer and got his start, I guess, as a YouTuber, right?
Yeah, and before that, he did some television programs.
Okay, well,
he's
anyway.
27 years old now.
I know who he is, but I don't know anything else about him. I'm talking about Jake Paul, except he is a boxer. And so he beat, I guess he's in his 20s?
27 years old.
Okay.
And Mike Tyson's 58.
But still a very large man. I'll never be that ripped.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him to hit
me. I wouldn't be ripped as Mike Tyson at 58 if I started now at 42.
Mike Tyson, anyway, lost in this surprise, right? I guess Mike Tyson ran out of money.
Yeah, because he got $20 million for losing this fight.
Yeah, I think he ran out of money. So that's what old rockers do.
Yes.
They say, you know, the old rock and rollers, they say, yeah. Oh, I'm never going on tour again. I'm retiring at 50. Then at 57, they're going, I'm back on tour. What happened? Ran out of money.
Yeah.
The Eagles came here to Tupelo in like 95 for their reunion tour.
Yeah, When Hell Freezes Over was the name of it.
Well, that was the name of their tour?
Yeah.
Because they said that they
would never get back unless hell froze over. Well, yeah. Hell froze over and they ran out of money. Yeah. So that's what happens with these people. But anyway, I'm just glad Mike Tyson didn't get killed in this fight because that was...
Or vice versa. You're saying because of the fight went so...
Well, the guy who fought him said basically I had mercy on him because I didn't want to kill the guy. I didn't want to hurt the guy bad. Talking about Mike Tyson. Anyway, Netflix, which aired it, is that what you call it?
Yeah, it was pay-per-view.
They had major streaming issues because so many people were tuned in to watch.
I had actually thought about watching it and paying to watch it, but first of all, I don't give money to Netflix. I didn't know Netflix was the one carrying it.
Yeah, they were.
But I'm glad I didn't because apparently it was a really boring fight. Yeah. And they had buffering problems, Netflix did, because so many people were
trying to stream. That's a bad combo.
It.
A real boring fight, and it's buffered.
Yes.
And you got buffering issues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That affects
Get that people. Little wheel.
He goes into land a punch, and the blue wheel comes
right,
up.
Stop. All right. Now, back to our list of Trump appointees. Trump just keeps naming people every day now that are going to be in his cabinet, or he wants in his cabinet. and some of them, and the cabinet level positions, of which there is like how many? Like
I think there's 24.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
they all have to be confirmed by the United States Senate. He just doesn't get to name them, and they're automatically in the cabinet. They have to be confirmed, right?
The cabinet yes. positions do, yes.
Now, most of the time in administrations up until the last one or two cycles here, been pretty much a formality. That is, the president gets to appoint who he wants, and the Senate has a hearing, and they vote pretty quickly. But that's not going to happen this time with Matt Gaetz, Pete Hegseth, and then there's the third one that will be controversial as well, and that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as Secretary of
right. Health and Human Services. Oh, that, listen, people's lefties heads are exploding.
That's got me laughing exploding. More than any of them, because that is Trump telling, I don't know what that's Trump telling, that's telling the world I don't care.
I
like him, and I'm putting him in there.
Girls and Bobby.
I don't even know. Maybe Trump knows. Why is it funny to say RFK Jr. in charge of Secretary of Health and Human Services? Why is that funny?
Well, because he's made his name. Now, he for decades, he was an attorney who sued over environmental issues. In fact, the news came out over the weekend that President Obama in 2008 actually considered RFK Jr. for a cabinet level position dealing with the environment to be either cabinet secretary or administrator to the Environmental Protection Agency. And Obama was considering RFK Jr. for that position, even with the support of then Senator Hillary Clinton. So that was kind of where he cut his teeth. But over the last, I don't know, decade or so, RFK Jr. has also been involved with suing pharmaceutical companies. And his views on the use of pharmaceuticals and the pass given to these big pharma corporations to where they are immune from lawsuits over vaccines, and he has also been controversial, RFK Jr., over the issue of the COVID vaccines and wants those things to undergo rigorous testing, remove the immunity. So all of that is what is making RFK Jr. a controversial selection. It looks like he's going to go after Big Pharma and deconstruct the government agencies that appear to be in bed with Big Pharma.
Now, I remember about a year ago, you told me you listened to a podcast interview of RFK Jr.
Yeah, he was on Joe Rogan.
Okay, he was on Joe Rogan, and you listened to that. Was it an hour, 2 hours?
It was probably maybe 90 minutes, maybe okay. 2 hours.
But you, if I remember right, you were impressed by his knowledge.
I was. Now, I'm not very adept at understanding scientific issues, so I can't say, well,
I wasn't there.
Yes, you weren't there, so you couldn't help me.
I couldn't
step in.
You
know, when he's talking about, you know, these barriers, but you know, within the body where vaccines or drugs can seep into the brain. And I'm listening. I'm going, okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't know. But it was very impressive to me, his knowledge. I'll tell you something else that was surprising. He told Joe Rogan that he believes that the military-industrial complex and perhaps the CIA were involved in the death of John F. Kennedy. And wow, if he is turned loose to investigate that or to demand the release of these files that are still under wraps, so he's controversial in all these ways. But I thoroughly enjoyed that podcast on Joe Rogan and learned a lot.
Well, so is he or is he not against vaccines?
He says that he has not, he has said recently that he is not anti-vax. He doesn't like the vast number of vaccines we now have compared to when you were children and you had like maybe a handful. Now we have, you know, over a dozen.
Oh, there's dozens and dozens. And I don't want to misspeak here. I think he had, let me just put it this way. This is a little bit vague. I believe he thinks there is a link between all these added vaccine drugs that are given to children and the prevalence, he says, the growing presence of autism in the American public. And he wants that checked.
You know, interestingly enough, last night on the Fox News website, there was a story where they were interviewing Deborah Birx.
Okay.
Scarf lady?
Mm-hmm. Yes, during COVID.
Yeah. The Trump Remember task her? Force.
Dr. Deborah Birx. And I don't know what she, was she a, I don't know what her profession was exactly. She was in the medical field, obviously. But anyway, remember her? She worked under, with Dr. Anthony Fauci and the initial response to COVID, you know, from the White House. Remember that? All that?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Deborah Birx. Anyway, she was basically saying that she didn't rule. Well, how can I? I'd have to go back and read it. The impression I got was she did not rule out the idea that autism has spiked because of the vaccines that children are given.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, coming from her, you know, she seemed like she was basically a medical establishment person.
Four years ago, we hung on her every word every day.
Yeah, and I liked her when I heard her talk. I thought she was pretty good back during the COVID.
Her specialty, even before she became White House coronavirus response coordinator under Donald Trump, her specialty was in HIV, AIDS, immunology, and vaccine research. So that is part of her field. And listen, part of what RFK Jr. is saying is that because of the huge amounts of money that Big Pharma gives to the FDA, for example, they give money to the FDA, and then the FDA turns around and gives approval to medications.
He's going
to
stop all that?
He says that needs to be
conflict
stopped.
Of interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he was talking again on Joe, I'm not recommending, folks, that you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast because Joe Rogan, you know,
uses a lot of profanity.
But I listened to that and it was fascinating. All these things that RFK Jr. So kind of like with Matt Gaetz, what you were saying about political ill will against him, regardless of whether he's qualified. That's going to happen to RFK Jr. There is going to be, because he's going to be going after these sacred cows like Big Pharma and FDA, how money is spent in the FDA, he is going to generate a lot of hostility.
You know, another thing I've thought about, and I don't know what the laws are regarding conflict of interest in terms of the relationship between, let's say, example, the pharmaceutical companies and the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA, are people allowed to go to work interchangeably between the two without, it just seems to me, you hear these stories all the time, and it isn't in just the FDA, but it's other regulatory agencies in the federal government where the people work there, and then they leave to go to work for the people they were regulating.
Yeah, that even happens in the what is sometimes called the military-industrial complex. So you'll have somebody who, you know, worked in oversight over how the military budget was
spent. From the Congress, say.
Yeah, Congress. And then they go to go on the board of some big company and make – and they still, of course, maintain their network of people in Washington, D.C., and have influence with former members of Congress or former members of the administration, and now they're getting paid huge amounts of money by a big corporation.
All right. In addition to that, this is what's called the swamp, by the way.
Yes.
Part of the swamp is what we're describing right here, and I don't know how you exactly solve the problem, because you have, so if you have, let's say, pharmaceutical companies – I'm just picking on them. Okay, could be any industry that has to deal with the federal government. If you have pharmaceutical companies, right, and they write checks to the campaigns of congressmen or senators, right,
mm-hmm.
who then oversee the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Yes.
Welcome to America, 21st century.
Maybe that's what makes the world go round. I don't know. But you see how that could be problematic for the people in the middle, the general public, who are having to deal with if basically you have an incestuous relationship between the federal government and you could big whatever. It doesn't have to be pharma. It could be any
big oil.
Yeah, whatever the case may be.
Listen, this is exactly why the movie The Fugitive was written.
Right.
You remember it was.
Oh, great movie.
Yeah, great.
Harrison Ford. Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, there was a new drug, Provasic, I think it was. And there was conflict of interest and they were hiding test results. And listen, I know that's just Hollywood, but when you have. Let me just give you an example of, and I'm not an expert on this stuff. I love my doctor, for example, my personal physician, lots of great people in the medical field. But drug salesmen come in to a clinic and talk to the doctors there and try to convince them to start prescribing their drugs. I want to know, do they give money or do they give gifts to the doctors?
I think absolutely.
I hope they would.
They give free golf outings.
And, yes.
Huh?
I mean, if that's allowed, and I have no idea. I'm not naming anybody.
That's America, brother.
If that's,
buy people off, man. It's been for a long time. Where you been, Ed?
Yeah. If that's going on, no wonder people get disgusted and say, well, how do I know this is actually the right drug for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm just asking questions here.
Well, and the drug ad always ends on television with talk to your doctor about this hard to pronounce and hard to spell name,
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Chris, I know people in sales, they offer incentives for doctors to do business with them.
Right.
To prescribe their drug.
Because
you know what? Next week, another salesman from another company is going to come in, and they're going to try to get you to use their stuff.
And they'll say to the doctors, the FDA's approved this.
Right.
The FDA, Federal Drug and Food Administration.
And by the way, if you want free tickets to the big game on Sunday,
right.
you do business with me.
Yeah, the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's approved. Doctors don't have time to test drugs.
No,
they go on the FDA approval and what the drug salesman
and what tests have been done on the drugs. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Well, we talked about people being in cahoots with one another. It's long been argued and generally assumed that the liberal mainstream media, they work hand in hand with members of the Democratic Party. I've got a montage here of various
not people. Working right now either.
No, it's not. But I'm going to play it nonetheless. And I've got another one to follow up with it. So I've got a montage of liberal media people flipping out over RFK Jr. being appointed possibly to be Secretary of HHS. Clip one.
Well, America, I hope you like measles.
This is a termite appointment. We know for sure that Bobby Kennedy is a vaccine denier. He's a vaccine denier. He denies being a denier, but he is a denier. And he is going to do great harm.
The most important thing to know about Robert Kennedy Jr. is that there are probably people dead tonight because of him.
Okay. So
did he say termite?
He did. Van Jones.
Wait, I got to hear that again. That was, huh?
I don't even understand the.
Van Jones called him a termite appointment.
What does that mean?
Hold on. Okay. Let's hear it in its original form. And then we can apply drugs to it.
Well, America, I hope you like measles.
This is a termite appointment. We know for sure that Bobby Kennedy is a vaccine denier. He's a vaccine denier. He denies being a denier, but he is a denier. And he is going to do great harm.
The most important thing to know about Robert Kennedy Jr. is that there are probably people dead tonight because of him.
All right. What's a termite? What?
Okay, so I looked it up. Some people claim the word termite can be used in a negative consequence. Like if you were to call a person from Israel a termite, some people might view that as anti-Semitic. But according to the internet, where you can't put anything that isn't true.
Right.
A termite appointment is also something that means it's a nuisance or something that's going to, you know, cause problems.
So I have some neighbors that are termites then. if that's the way you're going to define them. I'm not saying who they are.
That's different explanations on the internet today.
But a termite.
So there would be somebody who would eat away at the fabric of the country or something?
He's going to dig down and find all the stuff.
Hey, you know what's interesting about this, though? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to get his chance because he's going to sit there and testify before the senators.
Right.
And they better be ready to... They better know their stuff because he does.
He is really a brilliant man. I don't know enough about all of his views to say I agree with everything he said.
Right.
He's pro-choice. He's got some other issues, but this guy has litigated these cases for decades. He knows all the studies. He knows, you know.
Right.
So if he's brought before the Senate,
He'll be able to handle himself.
I'll watch that.
He'll be able to handle himself well.
I'll watch that.
Now, he's got some kind of voice issue. What is that?
Spasmodic dysphonia.
And that, I think, was from a vaccine. A flu shot or something, wasn't it?
I'm looking it up.
I think it was a side effect.
Closed at the window a minute ago.
Yeah. He explained that on this. I keep going back to this Joe Rogan podcast. He explained how he got that. And I think it was a side effect from some drug. I want to say it was like a flu shot or a vaccine.
All right.
But okay. Did you find out what it was?
Washington Post 2 days ago. He's got spasmodic dysphonia. Of course, it's behind a paywall.
Yeah. His spasmodic dysphonia is what? It's behind a paywall.
the article.
Oh, the article. Okay. Anyway, that's the first time in my life I've ever heard the word termite used in any other way than to describe the little creatures that tear up your wood in your house.
Right. Somebody that's not, he doesn't want to hear any more liberal or Democratic criticism, especially in media, of Trump's picks is Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma. He was on Meet the Press and was asked all these questions and asked about the criticisms about Trump's picks when the Republican senator said this, clip 4.
I do got a question for you. The Democrats are spending so much time talking about the scrutiny of President Trump's picks, and yet we didn't spend, did we spend this amount of time scrutinizing Biden's pick?
Hold on, Senator, let's stay.
But I don't see the same people giving the scrutiny here.
Now, we played this soundbite of Abe last week, but Abe brought up a similar point on his show last week, and Abe said, where was all, you know, people are upset about RFK being at HHS when Biden had a man in a dress at HHS.
Hey, what was that dude's name?
Richard Levine.
Richard
wants to go by Rachel, but his name's Richard.
What was his position?
He was like a, he wasn't the secretary of HHS, he was a high ranking official.
Yeah. Of HHS, Richard Levine.
Yeah.
Richard was the one. Yeah. He put on a dress, a wig. Mm-hmm. He grew his hair out.
He grew his hair out.
Dressed like a woman.
Yeah.
Said he was a woman.
And then you had the bald guy that stole luggage that dressed as a woman too. Sam Brenton.
By the way, I do want to clarify the condition, spasmodic dysphonia, that RFK Jr. has. It says the causes aren't clear, but one study found that 65% of people with the condition previously had measles or mumps, compared with the U.S. national average of 15%. So I was probably incorrect in recalling what he said was the cause on Joe Rogan.
You know, we need to have a doctor on or somebody who understands this better than we do. I want to know the exact number of vaccines that infants are required to have today. Are infants up to, say, 5 years old?
Some of that
compared to what baby boomers had.
Some of that might depend on the state, because I think these are like usually state regulate requirements, like for going to school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How many are there? Do you know?
You said
it's a state-by-state issue?
I think so.
It is a state-by-state issue, yes.
And there are a lot of people There are a lot of people who have autistic children or grandchildren who will tell you the reason they have that is because they were required to get so many vaccines as an infant or as a baby. I mean, they'll swear up and down by it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it all the entire time I've worked here.
And I've had a neighbor 15, 20 years ago. His son, he had like four children. One of them had autism. And he said, he has said, I've studied this, and I'm convinced this is what happened. And you have to ask yourself the question, why are there so many autistic children today when there weren't in previous generations? Or were there, and we just didn't know what to call them.
Right. I've thought that myself. I mean, the population has exploded in the United States of America between the time you were born and right now. And between the time I was born in 1982 and now, I mean, we got a lot more people here.
Yeah. I don't know the answers to that, but I just do know there are a lot of people who are very smart, intelligent people. Deborah Burks. You can go read, type in Deborah Burks and autism and see if
that's. Once you do that, I'm looking up, for example, in Mississippi. Childhood vaccinations include, and I'm not criticizing this, I'm just saying.
So not necessarily infant, childhood.
Right, there's a schedule such and such an age.
You're not criticizing, you're just saying this is the facts.
Hepatitis B, okay. Diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, polio, HIV, some kind of influenza, childhood pneumonia, measles, mumps, rubella, meningitis, chicken pox, and then it says for a complete list, So I guess that's not a complete.
Is that for Mississippi?
That's for Mississippi.
We have
polio hadn't been around forever. Yeah. Why would you need a polio shot?
I guess to keep it from coming back. I don't know.
Have you ever heard anybody?
No.
Having polio?
And the defenders of vaccines will say, no, you haven't heard of it because people have been getting vaccinations.
Okay. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.